I learned the moment he smiled that my world had a lock. He sat beside me at the cafe and whispered a fact I will never forget. My best friend had spoken poorly of me the night before. My pulse stuttered. He named her words, her tone, her laughter. He called me silent until I listened. That was the first day I felt both seen and trapped. He taught me to doubt my memory with a single comment. He rewrote my past in his voice until I believed I had forgotten half my life. Then he called me grateful for his guidance. I replayed his praise as proof of love. Each time I cried, he labeled tears weakness. Each time I smiled, he praised my strength. His words fell like rain on dry soil until my mind grew roots in his garden. I slipped beneath his current without knowing I was drowning. He mirrored my fears, named my hopes, filled every silence. He gave me books on confidence while erasing my trust in my instincts. He praised my ambition while clipping my wings. He convinced me I wanted his world. I wanted it too. Obsession bloomed in narrow halls. I chased understanding. I scribbled his tactics in margins. I read every article he pointed toward. I learned about gaslighting and love bombing as a student learns the alphabet. I wove those terms into my thoughts like lifelines. Each definition felt like proof I would escape. Escape meant facing cold nights alone. It meant losing the shape of us I had come to know. It meant believing my own voice over his chorus. The first step out of his shadow was a dry gasp of air. I counted each heartbeat until my hand found the door. This story follows what I lived. It shows what he used. It shares how I fought back. It lays bare each tactic he masked as affection. It reveals how I rebuilt my mind. It offers what I learned about setting walls he could not climb. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave a comment. The next story might change your mind. Don't miss a single turn. Chapter 1. The Cafe Smile. I arrived at the corner cafe at 8:10. My mind carried a paragraph of notes about my next pitch. I chose a table by the window. Light spilled across the wooden top. I felt sharp focus until he slid into the chair opposite. He did not introduce himself. He leaned forward, his green eyes fixed on mine. He said, "Your friend Isla laughed at your idea last night." My chest tightened. I searched my memory. I had spoken with Isla over coffee. Her mood had felt light. I had shared details of my plan. She had nodded and offered her own suggestion. I did not recall laughter. He watched. He said, "You said you were done with the meeting. She teased you. You left in anger." I felt heat rise beneath my skin. I snapped, "How do you know that?" He smiled. The corners of his mouth curved. He looked sincere. He said, "I have a friend in common. She told me you stormed out." My pulse stuttered. I swallowed. I said, "That is not how it happened." He paused. Then he said, "Everyone has gaps in their memory." He sounded gentle. He spoke with even tones. He lowered his eyes. He reached across the table. His fingertips brushed mine. The contact felt electric. I noticed his suit. It fit perfectly. The fabric looked soft. He wore a simple watch. The hands moved smoothly. I felt drawn out of my skin. He studied me. He said, "Let me help you remember." I did not speak. I let him guide my thoughts. He asked, "What did she say when you left?" I closed my eyes. I tried to see the moment. My vision blurred. He whispered, "Tell me her words." I answered in fragments. "She said I was overreacting." He nodded. He said, "She always doubts you." I shook my head. I said, "Isla listens to me." He lifted an eyebrow. He said, "Not when she thinks she knows better. She wants to steer you." I frowned. I could not recall her tone. Doubt seeped into my mind. I suddenly questioned the warmth of our friendship. He spoke softly. He said, "Your instincts ask questions. They warn you. You ignore them." I looked at my hands. They trembled. I felt small. His words felt true. I felt guilty for ignoring my fears. He reached for my notebook. He flipped to my outline. He read a line and said, "This idea will fail." I blinked. I had drafted that concept carefully. I whispered, "It has merit." He traced the line with his finger. He said, "Merit does not guarantee success." I closed the notebook. I said, "Why are you doing this?" He met my gaze. He said, "I want to see you succeed." He gave me his card. It felt heavy. He said, "Call me if you need any help." I gripped the card. I noticed his name, Adrian. I left the cafe with more questions than answers. I felt a chill. I sensed his presence still there. Later that day, I noticed I had forgotten parts of the meeting with Isla. I could not recall her expression. I could not recall her exact words. I felt a dull ache in my chest. I opened my laptop. I pulled up our group chat. Isla's text stood intact. I read her message. She had written 3 lines of praise and 1 suggestion. No laughter. No mockery. My heart lifted. I typed a quick reply. I said, "Sorry I snapped earlier. I misremembered." Then I paused. I deleted the message. I stared at the blank field. Doubt returned. What if I had changed her tone? What if I had missed a teasing laugh? My finger hovered over the send button. I closed the chat. I spent the afternoon poring over articles. I read about gaslighting. I read about memory distortion. I read about love bombing. I filled 2 pages of handwriting with definitions. I wrote, "Gaslighting, intentional distortion of facts to confuse victim." I wrote, "Mirroring, reflecting emotions to build false trust." I wrote, "Love bombing, overwhelming with praise to gain control." Each term felt like a key. I felt my mind grow clearer. I glanced at the clock. The day narrowed. I realized I had spent hours on research. My boss emailed. He asked for my proposal draft. I stared at the empty document. My thoughts wandered back to Adrian. The card sat on my desk. I picked it up. I traced his name with my thumb. I felt a flash of gratitude and a flash of fear. That night, I lay in bed. I listened to the hum of the city. I thought about his smile. I thought about his words. I thought about memories I could not trust. I felt caught between relief and dread. I opened my notebook again. I wrote a single sentence. "I need to find Adrian." Then I underlined it 3 times. My pulse hammered. I felt clear on that goal. I felt ready to step into a maze. Defense strategy. Pause when doubt creeps in. Write down the conflicting memories. Check original sources. Messages, recordings, emails. Label manipulation tactics by name to reduce their power. I closed the notebook. I turned off the lamp. Shadows gathered in the room. I waited for sleep. Instead, I lay awake, tracing the outline of his smile on my mind. Chapter 2. Isolation and control. I met Adrian 3 days later at the co-working space he suggested. His card lay on the table like a promise. He wore a dark sweater that accentuated broad shoulders. He said, "Glad you called." His tone felt warm. I felt relief mix with dread. He led me to a private booth. He closed the sliding glass door. The city noise faded. He said, "Tell me what happened since we last spoke." I hesitated. I felt his eyes on my trembling hands. I said, "I swallowed my doubts. I ran numbers on my pitch. I still believe in it." He nodded. He asked, "Why did you hesitate at the cafe?" I said, "I doubted my instincts." He said, "You let others steer you." His voice held no judgment. It sounded like fact. I felt exposed. He slid a tablet across the table. A simple chart showed my productivity dropping. He said, "This line falls right after we met." I traced the plummeting curve. I said, "I've been stressed." He said, "Stress makes you weak." He tapped the screen. "You need stability." He paused. He said, "I can offer you a project." I looked up. He said, "I have connections at Valor Media. They need fresh ideas." I bit my lip. Valor stood at the top of my wish list. I said, "What would I need to do?" He leaned in. He said, "Join my team. Work under me. I'll guide your every step." I felt a thrill. I felt trapped. I said, "I'd learn a lot." He smiled. He said, "You'll work closely with me. We'll meet daily." His green eyes fixed mine. I felt both drawn in and pinned. I said, "That sounds intense." He said, "Intensity breeds growth." He touched my wrist. His hand felt steady. I swallowed. I said, "I accept." That night, he texted a schedule. Daily check-ins at 9, weekly reviews on Fridays, monthly strategy sessions on the last day of each month. He said, "I'll push you to perform." I felt my heart race. I typed, "Thank you." Then I deleted it. I typed, "Looking forward," and hit send. Over the next week, I saw how he controlled access. He approved every email. He left voicemails if I missed a call. He offered praise when I followed his plan. He offered silence when I acted on my own. Once, I emailed Isla for feedback. Adrian noticed. He called immediately. He said, "Why did you go outside our process?" I said, "I wanted her input." He said, "Outside voices confuse focus." His voice was calm. I felt a sharp pang of guilt. I apologized. He said, "Trust me. I know the path." He moved me to a smaller office. He said, "We need privacy." I watched my world shrink. Walls felt closer. He brought me snacks, coffee, water. He said, "I care for your well-being." I felt grateful for his thoughtfulness. I felt lonely without Isla's midday visits. He set up a joint calendar. He blocked social events. He said, "Your time belongs to the project." I saw reminders pop up. Lunch break, review session. I saw empty slots on Fridays. I asked him, "What about downtime?" He said, "Downtime invites distraction." He tapped the calendar. I felt my free days vanish. One evening, I tried to write a message to my sister. The calendar flashed. Unsanctioned communication. The room's lights dimmed. I heard his voice. "We'll discuss your personal time tomorrow." I froze. I deleted the draft. I closed the laptop. I stared at the ceiling. I felt the walls pressing. I sensed a cage forming around me. Defense strategy. Notice when access narrows. Keep a private log of contacts and meetings. Retain control of key relationships by scheduling independent check-ins. Label caring gestures that follow or precede boundary erosion. That night, I slipped my phone under my pillow. I opened the Notes app. I wrote, "I need to reconnect with Isla and my sister." I underlined "sister" twice. My pulse pounded. I felt the distance his control carved into my life. I fell asleep clutching the phone, determined to break through the walls he built. Chapter 3. Descent and Analysis. I woke before sunrise. My mind replayed Adrian's last review. He praised my discipline, but warned against emotional decisions. I sat at my desk under a single bulb and reviewed my notes. I had 30 bullet points on trauma bonding. I had underlined intermittent reinforcement 7 times. He introduced intermittent praise amid criticism. One morning, he said, "You nailed that presentation." I felt sharp pride. The next morning, he said nothing when I arrived early. I fumbled through updates. He offered brief nods. I felt shame in silence. Then he praised my revision the following day. That cycle kept me tethered. He called it professional rigor. I called it unpredictable control. I read about intermittent reinforcement, reward after unpredictable behavior to increase dependency. I wrote in my notebook, "Intermittent praise feels like affection." I folded the page so I would remember. At noon, he invited me to lunch. He drove us to a quiet bistro. He complimented my choice of dish. He said, "You have good taste." My chest tightened. I said, "Thank you." He said, "Trust your choices." I felt warmth. He steered the conversation to my childhood. He asked, "Were you always so driven?" My throat tightened. I said, "My parents praised grades more than me." He nodded. He said, "You learned to earn affection." I recorded that line in my memory. He said, "Now you earn my approval." I felt relief and horror at the same moment. I wanted to push back. I wanted to run. I wanted to believe him. Back at the office, he gave feedback on my draft. He circled 3 paragraphs and wrote, "Too emotional." He wrote in the margin, "Cut sentiment." I ran my finger over his red ink. I felt anger flare. I deleted the paragraphs. I typed new lines about data and strategy. I felt hollow. I read about cognitive dissonance that night. Conflict between belief and action creating discomfort. I wrote, "Deleting truth for approval." I felt ashamed. I underlined shame. I thought about trauma bonding. Strong emotional connection formed through cycles of abuse and reconciliation. I wrote, "Reconciliation feels like love." I closed the book. My lashes still damp from reading personal accounts. He ended the week with a review meeting in his office. The door clicked shut behind me. He said, "You've improved." I felt pride. He leaned forward. He said, "But you broke protocol yesterday." My stomach lurched. He slid a printed email across the desk. It showed I had reached out to Isla. He said, "You defied our process." I felt guilt bloom like a dark flower. He said, "You trust her more than me." I shook my head. I said, "I needed backup." He stared. He said, "Backup undermines me." His voice felt cold. I looked down. My heart pounded. He said, "I'll forgive this once." He tapped the email. He slid it back. He said, "Don't repeat it." I felt tears rise. He said, "You'll learn faster if you focus here." He offered a tight smile that felt like a trap. Defense strategy. Track praise and criticism patterns. Note who gives positive feedback and when. Maintain a separate copy of original work to preserve your voice. Journal emotional reactions immediately to identify patterns of manipulation. I left his office with a trembling hand. I realized my reflection in the glass looked smaller. I wondered if I would ever see myself whole again. I stepped into the hallway with my new draft and my battered resolve, determined to hold on to the knowledge I was gathering even as I risked losing myself. Chapter 4. Breaking Free. The alarm jolted me awake. It was 4 a.m. The apartment was silent. I lay still, heart hammering. I had drafted an exit plan. I slid out of bed and grabbed my phone. I opened the Notes app. Step 1, copy files. Step 2, reclaim my network. Step 3, cut ties. I tiptoed to my desk. I unlocked my laptop with shaking fingers. He had remote access. I needed an air gap. I copied my draft and research onto a secure USB. I encrypted the file. I deleted local copies. I exhaled. I felt a spark of power. I reached for my phone. I opened the hidden folder. I had stored contact numbers for Isla, my sister, and a lawyer specializing in workplace abuse. I dialed Isla first. My voice cracked. I said, "I need help." She answered on the first ring. I heard relief in her tone. I said, "Meet me at my place in 30 minutes. She said, "Be safe." Next, I emailed my lawyer. I wrote a brief message outlining the project arrangement, the calendar controls, the emotional manipulation. I asked for urgent advice. I hit send. I felt resolve sharpen. I packed a small bag with essentials. Charger, keys, wallet, USB, a change of clothes. I checked my reflection in the mirror. My eyes were red but clear. I saw a woman reclaiming herself. I slipped out. The street was empty. I felt the night air fill my lungs. I walked briskly to the cafe where I first met him. It stood closed, lights off. I pressed my palm against the cool glass. I remembered the lock he placed on my mind. I tapped the window once, twice. I whispered, "I'm free." I hurried to my apartment and waited. 15 minutes later, Isla arrived. She unlocked the door and wrapped me in a hug. She said, "Tell me everything." I led her to my desk. I handed her the USB and showed her the calendar screenshots. I said, "He controlled my time, my work, my mind." She listened without interruption. Then she said, "You did the right thing." Her words felt like a shield. I let myself believe they were true. When my sister arrived, she held my hand and led me to the bedroom. She said, "You have a place to stay." I felt tears fall. I said, "Thank you." She said, "We'll handle him." That night, I slept in my sister's spare room. I dreamed of open spaces. I dreamed of my voice returning. Defense strategy. Secure copies of work on offline storage. Activate your support network immediately. Remove digital access points to regain privacy. I woke with the first light of dawn. I felt raw, but I felt alive. I opened my notebook. I wrote, "Today I reclaim my mind." I underlined reclaim. My pulse was steady. I had taken the first true step out of his cage. Chapter 5. Reconstruction and Resilience. Morning light filtered through the curtains of my sister's spare room. I stretched and reached for my notebook on the bedside table. I wrote a single word, resilience. Beneath it, I sketched a mind map. Therapy, new routines, boundaries, advocacy. Over breakfast, I told Isla and my sister how I planned to rebuild. Isla offered to coach me on professional networks. My sister offered space for therapy appointments. I felt support surround me. I returned to my apartment to retrieve essentials. The door lock clicked behind me as I entered. The silence felt expansive. I walked through empty rooms and saw traces of my time with Adrian. An unused coffee mug, a forgotten notebook. I reflected on each memory. I opened the notebook where I first noted gaslighting. I flipped through pages of tactics and examples. I read my own insights aloud. Mirroring offers false empathy. Trauma bonding feels like love. Each definition tasted like freedom now. I closed the book gently. I set up a new workspace in the living room. I placed fresh flowers on the table. I cleared my calendar of meetings. I blocked work with Adrian entries. I drafted a new schedule, writing time, therapy, calls with Isla, walks in the park. I felt control return. That afternoon, I drafted an email to Valor Media's editor. I wrote about my experience, omitted Adrian's name, framed it as a case study on workplace manipulation. I offered insights for a new series on mental health at work. I hit send. My heart fluttered. I felt agency in my words. I spent the evening researching local support groups. I bookmarked a women's networking event. I called the therapist recommended by my sister. I scheduled an appointment. I felt cautious optimism. Before bed, I opened my notebook and wrote a letter to myself. Dear me, you survived. You learned. You rebuilt. You will protect your mind. You will use your story to help others. You are whole. I underlined whole. I closed the notebook. I turned off the lamp. Shadows receded. I felt steady warmth in my chest. Defense strategy. Establish new routines with clear boundaries. Work, rest, social life. Continue education on manipulation to recognize red flags early. Use writing as therapy and advocacy. Share lessons to empower others. I lay in bed and breathed deeply. I felt the cage around me shattered. I felt the promise of a new story, one authored by me, free from his control.